Okay, so check this out. Last week, I talked about the new sponsor on the show, and that is the Path to Pain-Free ebook project. So Path to Pain-Free is a collaboration between two TMS and mind-body coaches. There's Miriam Gauci Bongiovanni and Duncan Clark. And together, they have written a day-by-day program for TMS. It's entirely DIY, and it has exercises that follow each lesson that's really going to help you increase your awareness and how your symptoms, why they're persisting. And primarily, it helps you identify those beliefs and behaviors and actions that are probably interfering with your recovery. So Path to Pain-Free includes lessons on how to overcome pain conditioning and how to neutralize the stress response. Together, these two have really shared their personal and professional experiences, and they've combined them to create this program that combines TMS work with pain neuroscience. We talk a lot about neuroscience on the show. And so that is really what this is all about, and direct you on where it is that you should go to painoutsidethebox.com/path-2-pain-free for more information. Welcome to the Mind and Fitness Podcast, Wednesday, January the 20th. So check this out. By the way, I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, as always. Did you know I have not done a solo show since episode 151 on November the 25th, which I think was the day before Thanksgiving? My goodness, it has been a long time. So we had Kevin Viner, then Julie Markowitz, Jim Prusak. I did the Simply Sarno webinar, which played Stephanie Monowick, Lindsay Roberts, Rebecca Tolan, and then Miriam Gauci Bongiovanni, all in succession. And so now we're going to slow down a little bit, and it's just going to be me talking. And as always, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the podcast. Let's take a peek here. Okay. So Patreon. So one interesting thing is that sometimes people go, they're patrons, and then they leave Patreon for a month or a couple months, whatever, and then they come back. So a new slash veteran patron of the podcast, Caroline, thank you so much for coming back. Love seeing you here, being a patron of the podcast. So shout out to Brooke and Carrie, Jason, David, Colette, Matthew, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Francisco, Ashley, Michael, Mike, Victoria, Chad, Anthony, Jen, and Nate, Eddie, Jenny, Christina, Ross, Julie, Casey, Brian, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. Thank you all so much for being supporters of the podcast. There's actually a lot of investment that is going into content for podcast listeners and people that are just generally fans of the show. For example, I bought a video content is going to be a thing for this year. In fact, there is someone that I am working with on a website, the website I would expect to be out sometime in the month of March. And then there's going to be some video stuff that's coming up. Digital course is going to be on the horizon. I would say April or May would be a realistic drop for that. So I bought a green screen, a nice green screen. And then I bought an entire camera setup that I'm going to use. So they're going to be shot in 4K, which will be awesome, the way that they'll look. And the thought that I have for it is basically 10 or 12 videos in succession of a digital video course of me teaching it for overcoming this stuff. Sometimes I get inquiries for coaching sessions, and a lot of what's going to go into the digital course is what would be talked about in like a consulting session, but allows you to do it at a different pace. And I'm thinking it's probably going to be something that's going to be dripped to you, meaning that every few days you'll get a new lesson, something new to do, something new to think about. But I like that idea a little bit more than maybe a traditional course, which you would be, you know, logging in, reading different things, all that kind of stuff. I feel that digital delivery via video or audio would really be a great way to be able to consume it. But it means that I can't wear my pajamas or my underwear or anything like that when I'm recording, and I'll actually have to be presentable. So be on the lookout for that. That is that was a it, it dollars for Patreon that come into the podcast, they help keep it on the air for free, but they help pay for some of the things that I use this podcast for. Like, for instance, the Zoom H4N Pro recorder that I have, the microphone setup, all the different cables, the battery packs, the battery banks, the hosting for the show, all that different kind of stuff is really what goes into it. So this will be, it's by far the biggest investment that I've made up to this point is happening right now. So I thank you all for that support and for what's coming up. So I took to Facebook last night, and just said, hey, I'm thinking about doing an Ask Me Anything this week. That's what today is going to be dedicated towards. So I got a handful of questions. I'm going to kind of ruminate on those. And kind of go over it, answer them to the best of my ability. And the thing that I always want to point out is that, look, I'm not a medical doctor, right? This is a hobby of mine. But this being episode 159, the way that I see it, I have done a masterclass of all things TMS and mind-body pain from interviewing these different experts around the world for so long and doing so much research in the field. I'm just at a really happy place for where I am. I get emails all the time from people saying that they are back to doing their sports or they're back to doing the things that they love. There's Ross. He's a motorcycle rider, and he sent me pictures of his Harley Davidson, which is amazing. To be able to hear that was something that was taken away from me, was being able to ride my motorcycle, something that I was just about ready to give up. The motorcycle was on Craigslist. It was ready to be sold. And I wasn't going to be able to do it anymore. That was where I thought my life was headed. People that are former athletes that are back to working out. When I interviewed Stephanie a few weeks ago, and she was somebody that got into boxing, I hear from a lot of power lifters. Caroline is a listener of the show. She had told me that thanks to the podcast, she's back to deadlifting whatever the hell it is that she wants and stuff like that. I love it because I don't think there's anything more empowering than being able to do a sport and do your sport again, especially after thinking that it is going to be gone. So that's really what my biggest mission and what my offer to the world is on a greater level. It's not just being a dad and it's not just doing this podcast, but it's actually being able to give people their life back. Apple Podcasts reviews, there's 175 of them that are on there now, and negative reviews that I've gotten surround mostly the theme song for this podcast, which is funny to listen to. But it is just, it's 4 years worth of people saying how much benefit they've gotten out of this and how they're back to doing the things that they love, and they've gotten their lives back better than any doctor ever could. And that is very, very humbling and very exciting to be able to see. So I will get off my soapbox and I'll answer these handful of questions and ruminate on them the best that I can. But that was just something that was on my mind, was being able to talk about that. So Felicia, what strategies do you use to get those really difficult emotions to finally surface? I've had one sitting there just under the surface for a few days now, and somatic tracking, meditating, journaling, and fully leaning into it hasn't helped to break through it yet. So Felicia, I think that you're doing the right things. I think maybe the wrong thing that you're doing is trying to understand or get to whatever that difficult emotion is. I just did a consulting call a couple of days ago with a guy who was talking about being able to get to, there was a little bit of confusion, being able to get to that one particular emotion or event, or trying to isolate a certain thing, or even doing like somatic tracking and trying to link the way that you physically feel to an emotion. And I don't think that it's necessary. Really what you're going for is a negative emotion of any kind. And it's most likely going to be fear, anger, or sadness, but you don't really need to know what any of those, which of the three it is. Maybe it's all of them. Maybe it's one of them. Maybe it's two of them. Maybe it's more than those three, right? So there's a lot of different combinations you can have, and trying to figure out which one it is it's just another diversion strategy. So being able to lean into it, and doing particularly with what you're talking about, somatic tracking and maybe even meditating, is really going to give you the best bang for your buck. Spending time journaling, you're probably getting into like a story mode or telling stories and trying to emit whatever it is that feeling is. And that's just, it's the wrong path. I think that you're getting too analytical about it. So that's what I would say. Phil, what's it mean to be pain-free? This question seems to be simple. Oops, Seymour. But people have different visions and expectations about that. Maybe gather different versions and giving your personal definition. Someday I can see I'm pain-free, and other days, not at all. Thanks. So pain-free has an interesting connotation to it, because if we were to say for people that don't know anything about this work, if you were to say pain-free, just say the term pain-free, they would expect it to mean that you have no pain, that you don't have, you know, that your back, like your once hurting back, excuse me, I'm going to switch positions. Your once hurting back no longer hurts. And for people that haven't had a quote unquote chronic issue, maybe their back acts up every once in a while, or maybe they get colds every once in a while, or maybe their ankle hurts or they have that bum knee or whatever the case is, it's a human condition. And so everybody has something. So there is no such thing as being pain-free, because to be in pain really, unfortunately, is just being a human being. As a young child, when you don't repress, typically, when you don't repress a lot of the emotions, the nasty stuff that's happening, because when things go terrible, you just start crying, right? That's just the way that it is. You allow yourself to be really angry. You allow yourself to be really sad. Like, and then, you know, you get over it. It reminds me a lot of why zebras don't get ulcers, right? They get through the traumatic event and then they do their violent shake and then it doesn't impact them. They're not thinking about it. Adults don't have that luxury. So you're always sort of walking around with something. So to me, what pain-free means is that you're getting a waxing or waning of symptoms. Maybe your previous complaint has not gone away, but maybe more than anything is just really the understanding that if you start to get a particular symptom or a feeling or a hurt or something like that, that you can look at it with confidence and have the indifference to say, this isn't going to bother me because I know that it's going to go away and it's a part of life. And as soon as you can get to that point, those things are going to go away and quickly. I don't have a cough button, so hopefully that didn't bust out your eardrums. This one's from Jen. What is the most memorable, good or bad reaction you have gotten to your healing story? I mean, I get a ton of good ones from listeners of the show that send me emails and stuff like that. I'm assuming that you mean people that maybe saw me at my worst and then things turned around and how did that happen? Bad reaction, I would say, unfortunately, is like family members who don't think that any of this stuff actually exists. Like I remember for Mother's Day a couple of years ago, I got my mom a couple of Sarno books and she had said, you know, my pain is actually real, right? And just the implication of it's actually real. I mean, we know what she's trying to say. And so that I would put as a bad reaction to a healing story because look, like I'm your kid. This was going on for years. And it's something that for whatever reason you can't grasp at the moment. As far as good reactions go, you know, there is a, I don't even know if she listens to this show. There is a woman actually lives very locally to me. And ironically, her husband owns the plumbing company that that we use at my house for our tankless water heater and stuff like that. She was having a bunch of issues, wrists and elbows and tendonitis and couldn't train and was having all these problems. And I had given her some resources. We had a little bit of a talk. And all that stuff went away and she's back to doing all the training that she wanted to without restriction. And so to me, that's one of the cooler ones. Again, you have an athlete interested in iron sports, meaning with a barbell, and they had an issue and now they don't have an issue. That's about as good as it can get. And I could hear that type of a story an infinite amount of times and I will never get tired of hearing it. Because again, that was exactly where I was. Like right now I'm in my garage and I'm looking at my motorcycle and all my motorcycle gear and I'm looking at my barbell and like none of this stuff would still be here if I didn't find the Sarno books and do all the introspection and all the work. And that's why I do this podcast, because my life is astronomically different. I mean, I'm just thinking back, what is it? 2021 now, January of 2021, 4 years ago at this time, I had signed up for a weightlifting tournament several months prior. I was going to go through and do it. And this week, or coming up on this week, I think that meet was somewhere towards it's probably, I don't know, January 27th or 8th or 9th or something like that. So we're, you know, at this point in time, we're a week or so away from it. And I remember I had contemplated withdrawing, and just didn't hit the send message to the officiators of the meet to say that I'm officially withdrawing. I kept going back and forth thinking that my body's getting so bad. I'm getting so much more numbness and tingling in my hands. I'm getting so much more pain all throughout my upper back and my neck and my shoulders, and just everything hurts so bad. And every time I do anything, it hurts and I can't figure it out. No doctor can figure it out. So it was kind of like this race against time where it was like, is my body going to be able to hold up to me actually making it to this weightlifting tournament? And then if it does, what do I do afterward? So I made the decision eventually, maybe a couple of days before, I'm doing this meet. And literally, as soon as the meet ended, I stopped cold turkey, didn't lift anything, didn't really do anything for several months, up until I found Dr. Harmon at UW, who said, have you thought about what's going on in your life? Well, what's your stress like? What's your life like? And that led me down a whole different path. So the good or the bad. Hopefully that answers your question, Jen. And I'd be curious if you do hear this to come back to that thread and just tell me if it addressed it or not, because that's the stuff that comes to mind. This is from Ace, A-A-S is the spelling. We are creating emotions every moment, some good, some sad. How should we deal with all the sad emotions? For example, sometimes we get angry with a shopkeeper for not treating us well. How should one deal with these tiny emotions that they may not become a ghost in the future? I think it's a good practice to get yourself in, and I did this. I've been sleeping kind of bad the last couple of weeks, just waking up at 5:30 in the morning. Doesn't matter how late I go to bed. I recently bought NHL 21 for PlayStation 4. We're about to get the NHL here in Seattle in 8 or 9 months. And so I wanted to get that game and be able to get versed in it. But then I got sucked into the Tiger Woods documentary and there's always wrestling to watch and all this stuff. So sometimes I just don't go to bed as early as maybe I should. But last night before bed, I laid there and inventory is not the right word, but I did a somatic tracking exercise, which whenever I get around to doing this digital course, which not I should say whenever, it'll be out no later than 4 months from now. How about that? I'm going to do an extended video on somatic tracking, exactly how I do it and exactly how you can do it. But I laid there and I did a somatic tracking exercise for 3 or 4 minutes and I dropped out like a light and I got the best sleep I've gotten in weeks. 90 out of 100 on my tracker, 7.5 hours of actual sleep. I felt awesome when I woke up and I crushed it my snatch training this morning, probably in a lot of ways because of that. So, final question from Jeremy. Why do so many people equate solving known emotional issues such as stress and anxiety to solving TMS symptoms? Anyone that has read Sarno books knows that this is trap thinking for those seeking a permanent cure and recipe for recurring symptoms. And yet it is still the predominant area of discussion on almost every post. Why would this be the case in your opinion? Where is this coming from? So there's a lot of layers to that. Allow me to peel some of that back. But the question that I read here is, Sarno talked about not the you don't have the necessity of clearing out or eliminating stress from your life in order to get better, because that is a constant chase. This happened on the consulting call I had the other day, talking about trying to basically outrun stress. It's not something that you can ever do. It's like trying to outrun the rain or trying to outrun the cold. It's something that is sort of tangible, but if you just spend your life trying to avoid it, you're going to be in fight or flight forever because you're trying to get out of this stress. And so what I think has maybe happened over time is that people interpret Sarno's message as stress is really the root of my issues or injuries or pain or whatever the case is. And so then they try and find maybe a shortcut and they'll Google stress relief or different things like that. Like I talked about my mom earlier. One of the things she always talks a lot about different stress relief techniques, essential oils and hot stone massage and all this kind of stuff. And you'll do those things and you'll feel good for an hour and then everything else comes back, right? Because it's not really getting at the root of anything. It's very much scraping a symptom of it. But I think that maybe the thought from a lot of people that just assume that, okay, if stress is the root, then I can address the stress, and ways to address the stress is to reduce it. Which doesn't really fit into the Sarno soothe to rage ratio, but I think maybe people think that it does. And so maybe a big part of the digital course is breaking up that misconception. But just the notion that you can sort of outrun stress or anxiety or whatever the case is, there's no way to avoid a wave other than going through it. You can try and run away from it or run in the opposite direction or whatever the case is, but there just really is no way. There's still going to be a problem. You can only provide a buffer for so long. And so essential oils and yoga and all these things that you think you can add up into the totality, taking hot baths and going to get a massage and doing chiropractor work and all this stuff, like thinking that it can inherently all be cumulative, is really the wrong approach to take. Because if you go and let's say that you have a muscle that is killing you in your neck, and then you stretch that muscle and you spend 2 minutes a day, stretching that muscle every single day. And the thing is, the tensile strength of muscle tissue and musculature is so strong that you're not going to be able to make any sort of an impression on that muscle if you do this for days and months and years on end, because if the nervous system takes its slingshot basically and decides, up, life is too much right now, and it can literally just retighten that muscle at any point that it wants. So if you can address the nervous system, which ultimately the way for it to cool down is to know that anything that that life throws at you, you can handle because you've gone through it. Like, that's really the fastest way to the checkered flag. I don't watch racing, but I think there's a checkered flag at the end. That's really the fastest way, is going through the wave and not trying to outrun the wave. I hope that answered everybody's question. Thanks again, always, for the support. I'm really pumped for what is coming up in the next few months. I'm actually trying to talk to a listener who is a violin player into doing some kind of a musical piece for the show, because I would love to have something real arty and classical to bring to the show. This has been a blast, guys. 159 episodes in. Barb had asked me a couple weeks ago that it seemed like I was alluding to maybe the show ending. That's not the case at all. Sometimes if I get creatively stifled, it's like, what am I going to talk about for the next 5 episodes or 10 episodes or whatever? But the reality is, there is a lot of content out there that can still help people, and that's where I've been for 159 episodes. So thanks again so much for your support, and have a great rest of the week.